Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We want to talk this week, continue to talk about what St. Paul describes as the kindness and the severity of God. There's two edges to the sword, the Word of God that Jesus himself is, and the Word of God that he wields, that he speaks. And this week, we just happen to have very strong themes each day in the daily readings that contain warnings from Jesus about making sure that we're watchful, that we're alert, that we're living a life that is putting God first, that we're seeking the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we're striving after the kingdom of God. He makes it clear that nobody drifts into the kingdom of God, that it requires struggle. It requires daily, focused spiritual struggle, and that we pursue the thing we love most with the kind of passion and focus and understanding that it requires, really, to be able to do whatever it takes to enter, Jesus is saying, through the narrow gate. I read yesterday the gospel that was taken from this past Sunday's Mass, where Jesus answers the question, someone asks, Lord, will only a few people be saved? And Jesus makes it clear that it's difficult. He said, then strive to enter through the narrow gate. That's the first thing he says. That his concern is, I believe what he's saying is, where's your heart? What is it that you want? Are you willing to pay any price? Remember other places in the gospel where Jesus said, you know, if your eye is an obstacle to your entering into the kingdom, cut your eye out. If your hand is, cut your hand off. And he's speaking in a way, he's using a form of expression that is essentially saying, if there's anything in your life that is an obstacle to your entering the kingdom of God, get rid of it. Everything in this world is passing. It's living with an eternal perspective. I was thinking of St. Francis of Assisi said to the brothers, when he said, let's confidently pursue, brothers, the promises of God. Our life here on earth is short. The punishment of eternity is real. Suffering here on earth is nothing. And the glory of heaven is forever. Now, that's the perspective of the saint, living with a renewed mind and being able to put first things first and keep them there. One of the things we'll see today is how Jesus goes after the religious leaders of his time. He's not happy with religious leaders that are living like hypocrites. Kind of on the outside, they're putting on a show. On the outside, they go through the kind of religious practices and habits. But on the inside, the heart's not converted. They put themselves first. And Jesus, you can see, as I was saying at the beginning of the program, you can get a glimpse of the kindness and severity of Jesus. I had a conversation recently with some of our team members. And in the context of the conversation, one of the guys was talking about the different ways in which Jesus speaks in his teaching. And he described the loving side of Jesus, you know, his mercy, his gentleness, his patience. And then there's this other side of Jesus, which is, seems so harsh and it seems so intense. And it just hit me the way he was describing it. And I said, think about what you just said. You said that sometimes Jesus speaks in a loving way, like when he talks about mercy, and he's gentle. But the other side of Jesus, what is that? It's love. Jesus is love. Everything Jesus ever taught us is an expression of love, even when he deals with us severely, when he deals with us directly. When he was flipping over the tables in the temple, because the Jewish people there and those who were buying and selling had lost sight of the place they were in, the holiness of God, and how offensive that was to God, Jesus was filled with zeal, and he overturned the tables, and he put the cords together, and he drove them out of the temple. That was an act of love. Love does not, what does it say? Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not affirm what's wrong, Paul tells us. It never rejoices in what's wrong. There's a lot of rejoicing in what's wrong in our culture. There's a lot of pressure today on believers to get with the program and to rejoice as the world is rejoicing over things that are profoundly offensive to God, like the state of New York, the quote-unquote Catholic governor of New York, leading the cheers of the legislature in Albany, passing a bill that says we can kill a child right up to its first breath. And they're dancing and they're celebrating it. That's, first of all, the human being is a temple of God. It's the image of God. It's the most valuable thing on earth. It's profoundly offensive to God. And love demands a zealous response to that kind of darkness. And we ought to be able to, within the church, and I think this is an important theme to draw out from Jesus' teaching. The question is asked, will many people be saved? Today there's a lot of discussion, I think partly sparked because of a teaching Bishop Barron gave on following on Hans Urth von Balthasar's book, Dare We Hope, that basically everyone will be saved. And so there's a lot of debate that I don't want to get into, although there's real concern there about how it actually gets expressed. There's been clarification the bishop put on his website. There's some very good stuff there. But there are some things in the book, and there are some things that von Balthasar had written talking about the fact that it's infinitely improbable that anyone is in hell. I don't know how you come to that kind of a conclusion when you hear the consistent teaching of Jesus on these things. But my biggest concern, my bigger concern is that if we get too focused on thinking that everybody's saved or pretty much everybody's saved or that we can hope, we can have a reasonable hope that pretty much everybody's going to be saved, it will cause us, it causes many, I think it's visible in the church. It certainly is a temptation, put it that way, to lose a sense of urgency that Jesus is looking to stir in us through his preaching and teaching, to make us alert, to have a profound zeal for the salvation of souls, to enter the spiritual battle by striving and with great focus and intensity to be awake, to be watchful, to be alert. That's the posture and the discipline of a Christian, of a disciple. And I do think, and maybe if there are priest brothers and deacons and bishops who are listening to the program, I think instead of focusing so much on a discussion like that, we should simply ask ourselves, does our preaching correspond to the preaching of Jesus? Do we actually preach like Jesus? Or do we cherry pick and just take out some of the ways in which Jesus speaks and preaches, knowing that those who are on the receiving end of it are going to welcome it more? And so we avoid the more difficult teaching that Jesus presents. As I mentioned yesterday in the program, as we went through the Gospel of Matthew, asking one question to a team of us at Renewal Ministries, where in the teaching of Jesus, or how often and how, does he talk about the consequences of not responding to his teaching, not responding to the gospel? And if I remember the number correctly, it was at least 53 times just in the Gospel of Matthew that he gives warnings and he talks about the consequences of not responding to him. So clearly, Jesus understood how important it is to communicate to believers, communicate to people how serious it is to have this kind of posture, the posture that says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, seek, knock, thirst, hunger, be alert, be sober, resist the devil, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the normal Christian life, and that's a healthy way to live. And Jesus constantly exhorts us. Now, if you just we just go to, for example, today's gospel reading, where Jesus is making life difficult for the Pharisees, for the religious leaders. Matthew 23, verse 23 and following. Here's just an example. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law." They're focused on external things, small things, things that will get that'll get people's attention, that'll make them look pious on the outside. He said, you neglect the weightier things of the law, judgment, mercy, fidelity, being faithful to God, having right judgment, putting first things first, having mercy, the mercy of God. But these you should have done, Jesus said, without neglecting the others. Blind guides, you strain out the gnat and you swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of plunder and self-indulgence. I think there's another translation, which is full of dead men's bones and all corruption. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup so that the outside may be clean as well. It made me think about a reflection Father Cantalamessa made on one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart means to be a person of one thing, you know, to be putting God at the center in the way Jesus is calling us to and the way we're describing him. And he said, it's easy for us to live like hypocrites. Purity is the opposite of hypocrisy. He says, we often live two lives, our true life and the one that exists in our minds that we project out to the minds of others. He puts in quotes a little phrase. He said, I appear, therefore I am. I want to project an appearance. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Their heart was in a different place. Father Cantalamessa goes on, he said, originally hypocrisy was used in theater and meant to recite, to represent something on a stage. Hypocrites are pretenders, they're play actors. They put on masks. He said, today life is transferred to a show, the temptation for many today. Think about Facebook and how everybody's, you know, how tempting it is to project in social media like a perfect image of who I am, right? To design something, to design an image and define myself and to... Oftentimes, it's a perfect picture of myself, a perfect description of who I am, and the whole picture obviously isn't there. Jesus doesn't like hypocrisy, and St. Francis, in his own way, spoke about it as well. He said, for what a man is before God, that he is and nothing more. I am who I am before God and nothing more. I am the total person that God sees, and I'm the person that God, you might say, evaluates. What does God see when he sees me? That's who I am, not what I project, right? And that's the temptation. Jesus hates hypocrisy. He loves all of us. He loves the sinner. He loves everyone. But his love is not only kind, but it's severe. And it's so severe that he'll tell us the truth. He'll tell us the truth directly that if we don't take him seriously in the way that he commands us to radically love God the Father with all our lives, to seek to please him by obeying his commandments and doing it from the heart, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength first, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, understanding how difficult that is, that it requires great striving. It requires the whole person, and this is what Jesus is after. Judgment Day is going to reveal your heart. It's going to reveal my heart. What's going to be revealed with great clarity is what I wanted or what you wanted. The Catechism puts it this way. Following the steps of the prophets and John the Baptist, Jesus announced the judgment of the last day in his preaching. Then will the conduct of each one in the secrets of hearts be brought to light. Then will the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. It's so important for us to hear Jesus's warning. Jesus's many warnings, which are expressions of his love. He's loving the Pharisees in these woes that he's putting upon them. Friends, let's internalize those for ourselves so that we can walk in his footsteps and our hearts can be purely set on him. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.